The special favor of Allah, Allah. The universe is the body and its soul,
الحمدللہ رب العالمین والصلاة والسلام علی سید المرسلین اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الصلاة والسلام علیک یا رسول اللہ وعلی آلک واصحابک یا حبیب اللہ الصلاة والسلام علیک یا نبی اللہ وعلی آلک واصحابک یا نور اللہ Viewers of Madhi Channel, welcome to this series of programs Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. And in these series of programs, as I said before, but just for our new viewers, that in these series of programs, we aim to look at our rich heritage, the heritage of Islam that is so rich, but we know very little about it. The rich personalities, the lives, the sacrifices. And today we've got an interesting topic, but before we begin on this topic, I want to give you a blessing of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those people that watch Madhi Channel will realize that at the beginning of every program, we always recite Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We give so much significance to reciting Durood e Pak because there are so many blessings in it. And we try to make our viewers and everybody habitual in reciting Durood e Pak by giving them blessings, and so that they can keep these blessings in their mind, pass these blessings on to others as well, become habitual in reciting Durood e Pak and get the blessings as well. The blessing of Durood e Pak that we have today is that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, O people, undoubtedly, from the terror and accountability of the Day of Judgment, the person who would attain quick salvation will be the one who has recited his salat upon me in abundance in this world. Allahu Akbar. So on that day, the people that will attain quick salvation, viewers of the channel, would be those people that in this world, they send Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you can understand from this the great rewards that on the Day of Judgment, that Durood e Pak will come, and through that Durood e Pak you will attain salvation. So why should we not make a habit of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So viewers of the channel, please put some time aside. I mentioned it before, when you're traveling to work, when you're coming home from work, or whatever it is, whatever you're doing with your lives, then put some time aside and use that time in reciting Durood e Pak. And as I said before, viewers of my channel, that one extra Durood e Pak that you recite today might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. Viewers of my channel, on today's program, Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow, like I said, we're trying to talk about our pious predecessors, but there's a group of pious predecessors that are the greatest pious predecessors. Other than the Anbiya, other than the Prophets, they are the greatest pious predecessors that we have. Who are we talking about? I think most of you have already gathered by now that we're talking about the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the great significance, the great sacrifices that they made, the character of them. And hopefully we can just get a glimpse of some of their lives, then we can learn something today. Alama Hafiz Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi ta'ala states that those fortunate individuals who saw the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the state of Iman and also passed away in the state of Iman are called the Sahabi. They are called the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. None of us can become the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is only those fortunate people that lived in that time and they saw the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with Iman and they died with Iman, and those are the fortunate people that are the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's their lives and it's their sacrifices, viewers of Islam, that we're going to talk about today. It is stated that the number of companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was more than 100,000. Yes, 100,000. And it's narrated that approximately 114,000 companions gathered in Makkah al-Mukarramah on the occasion of Hajjat al-Wida. 124,000 companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's say, for example, we'll take the lower number, the 100,000, yeah? 100,000 or 114 or 124. Let's take the lowest number. 100,000 companions. Where are they buried? Do you know how many of them 100,000 companions are buried in Madinatul Munawwarah? That are buried in Jannat al-Baqi? Do you know how many? I tell them 100,000. How many think would be buried there? Now, I'm not asking users any questions or answers today, viewers on the channel. But only 10,000 companions were buried in Jannat al-Baqi. Where are the other 90,000? 90,000 companions. They left the city of Medina. Now, think about it, viewers on the channel. These companions, they left the city of Medina. The city in which the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was maybe alive when they left that city. Or the resting place of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they left that city. Today, nowadays, we dream of being going to Medina. We dream of having that attachment in Medina. We dream of resting in Medina, staying in Medina. And we all pray that we get jobs in Medina, that we can go and work there and live there and die in Medina. We all have this dua. Because that is the city of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But them 100,000 companions, only 10,000 are buried in Jannat al-Baqi. The other 90,000, they left. They left. Why? Why did they leave? And that is something that you need to ponder upon, viewers, inshallah. You need to think about that. That them 90,000 companions, more in according to some narrations, left the city of Medina. Left why? So that they could spread the deen of Islam. They can travel in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. And they went to the corners of the world so that the deen of Islam can be spread. That we see today that the mazars, the graves, the blessed resting places of these companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are far as China. We see them in Turkey. We see them all over the place. In Northern Africa, in many, many places, we see that these companions traveled. They didn't travel because they got a job offered over there. They didn't travel because they went there to get education and to improve their career capabilities or anything like that. They didn't travel there to go and get married. No, they traveled, viewers on the channel, to spread the deen of Islam. They didn't travel there because they'd applied for a visa so they could get a better job over there. No, they traveled to these places for the sake of Islam. And I want you to just ponder over that. That these people, the sacrifices that they made. And think about it nowadays. Nowadays, if you emigrate to another country, you know, if you do hijrah and you leave your hometown and you go to another town or you go to another city or you go to another country even, what is the first thing you do before you go there? You find out about the situation there. You go on government websites. For example, if I wanted to move to Pakistan, I would find out about the situation over there. I would find out whether it's safe to be over there. I would find out where is the best place to go over there. I would find out where the best schools are over there. I would find out where there's best places I can get jobs over there. I would find out all of these things. I would find out the currency. I would find everything that I need to go over there. And how would I do that? I'd go to the embassies. I'd go on the online. I'd go on internet. And I'd do all of this research before I even thought about making this journey. Allahu Akbar. But did the companions, the blessed companions, did they do this? No, they didn't. They did not know what they were going to face. But they left their homes. They left their homes. And viewers of the channel, we owe them companions. We owe so much to them. It's because of the sacrifices that they made that the deen of Islam is here today. That they traveled in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. We see them that they've gone into Turkey, Iran, the Indian subcontinent, as far as China. All over Hijaz, all of these areas were covered by these companions. Why? To spread the deen of Islam. Just think about that. And nowadays, when we look at ourselves, when we look at the sacrifices that we are, I'm not going to say willing to make, not willing to make, I'm going to say. We're not willing to make sacrifices. We're not willing to travel in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And when viewers are mentioned, those of viewers that are watching now that have been fortunate enough to travel on the Madri Kaflas with Dawat Islam, travel in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. Ask yourself, how were you met when you went to the masjid that you were going to? You were going to the town or you were going to the city, or even you were traveling abroad to a different country. How were you met when you went there? Were you met with swords, spears, nets to trap you? You were met with places where there were famines taking place and there was no food there, no water there? Were you met with hostility? No, you weren't. In some cases, you were met with flowers, with open arms. People will welcome you, calling you to your houses for meals, for tea, for biscuits, and all of these things were happening. And yet still we're not willing to travel in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Still we're not willing to sacrifice any of our time. I ask you a question. You know these companions? Yes, without doubt, they were the greatest of creation after the prophets. After the prophets, they were greatest of creation. But didn't they have families? Didn't they have wants? Didn't they have needs? Didn't they have desires? Didn't they have, you know, the like we have, that we want to have worldly pleasures and worldly comforts? Why? Because we want to feel comfortable. You know, I use this particular chair. There's another chair that I could use. It's more of a harder chair, but I use this chair because it is softer and I want to be a bit more comfortable. I want to have a little bit of comfort here. At the beginning of the prong, they give me a cup of tea because I want the comfort of having a cup of tea. So we look for these worldly comforts. And human beings do this. Were the companions not human beings? Yes, they were. Did they not have families? Did they not have children? Did they not have, you know, people to look after or care for? Yes, they had all of them things. But the Deen of Islam is what they put front. They were not submerged in the dunya like we are. They were not submerged in the world like we are. That we are drowned in this world and we don't see our ulterior motive. We don't see what our true purpose of life is. That our purpose in life is to please Allah Azza wa Jal and attain salvation on the Day of Judgment. And at the beginning of the program, we mentioned just one of the ways by reciting Durood e Paak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But there's so much more that we need to do. So look at the lives of the companions, viewers of the channel, and look at how they sacrificed their lives. Amongst the companions, it is stated that obviously there was more than 100,000 companions, but the names of all of the blessed companions are not known. We don't know the names of all of them. And the number of those companions whose names are known are 7,000. 7,000 companions. 7,000 role models we have, viewers of the channel. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that my companions are like stars. Follow them and you'll never go astray. 7,000 role models. 7,000 heroes of Islam that we know about. There was more than 100,000. We don't know their names. We don't know their lives. But we know about 7,000. And that's why I say to you, Vizim al-Chan, that we have this rich heritage. We have this rich history that we need to fall back on and learn about. We need to find out about these lives of these people. As Muslims, shouldn't we, if we know 50 football players, shouldn't we know the names of 50 of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Amongst the companions, viewers of Muslims, there are four special companions. Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Hazrat Ali and Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. These are the four righteous khalifas that came after the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they became the khalifas. After that, we have the Ashra Mubashra. Who are the Ashra Mubashra? Again, as Muslims, we should know this. Who are the Ashra Mubashra? These are those blessed companions, the 10 blessed companions that will guarantee paradise. If you can name 50 football players, can you not name those 10 companions that will guarantee paradise? If you can name 10 cricketers, if you can name 10 film stars, if you can name 10 politicians, 10 wealthy people, 10 big businessmen, if you can name them as Muslims, should we not know the names of 10 blessed companions? And those blessed companions, viewers of the channel, that we believe, that our belief is that every companion is in paradise. Every companion is a dweller in paradise. But the Ashra Mubashra are those companions that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he himself, he said that this companion is a Jannati. This companion is a Jannati. This companion is a Jannati. That these people are guaranteed paradise. Do we know who they are? Do we know anything about their lives? And that's something that I want you to think about today, viewers and mentors. I want you to reflect on that. That we have the names of 7,000, and we're just talking now about the companions. We've not talked about all the pious predecessors that have gone in the last 1400 years. All the great saints, all the great scholars of the past, we're not mentioning them. 7,000 role models. 7,000 people that we know the names of. 7,000 people that we can look up and find something about who these people are. Learn something from their lives. Make a change in our lives today so that we can have a better tomorrow. These are the people that we need to know about. But unfortunately, we don't know these people. We don't know who these great people are. And inshallah, after the break, we're going to have a break in the moment. After the break, we're going to talk about how Allah Azza wa Jal also mentions the status of these companions in the Holy Quran as well. So we're going to take a small break now, inshallah. We've got a kalam for you. After that, we're going to continue. And I want you to think to yourself, before we go to that kalam, I want you to think to yourself. Ask yourself, okay, here's the thing. Whilst this kalam is on, listen to the kalam, enjoy the kalam, but at the same time, get a pen and paper out and write down the names of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you know. And at the end of it, I don't know if this is a 3-minute kalam, 5-minute kalam, or 6-minute kalam. After 5 or 6 minutes, look at that list when we come back and ask and reflect on how many people you have there. Yes, if you get more than 10, marhaba. But let's see how many get 10. Let's go to the kalam of the day, viewers on the channel. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Aqa रस्ते भी लंग मही तेरी दीद दी हसरता हिन बढ़िया तेरी याद पे तड़पा दिए ਹਿਜਰ ਦੀ ਰਾਤ ਨੂੰ ਚਮਕਾਵੇ ਜਿਵੇਂ ਰੋਸ਼ਨ ਹੋਵਣ ਫੁੱਲ ਝੜੀਆਂ ਤੇਰੀ ਯਾਦ ਪਏ ਤੜਪਾਉਂਦੀਏ ਜਦੋਂ ਤੇਰਾ ਗੁਲਾਮ ਕਹਾਵਾਂ ਮੈਂ ਕਿਉਂ ਖੌਫ ਕਿਸੇ ਦਾ ਖਾਵਾਂ ਮੈਂ ਜਦੋਂ ਤੇਰਾ ਗੁਲਾਮ ਕਹਾਵਾਂ ਮੈਂ ਕਿਉਂ ਖੌਫ ਕਿਸੇ ਦਾ ਖਾਵਾਂ ਮੈਂ ਤੇਰੇ ਹੁੰਦੀਆਂ ਵੇ ਮਦਨੀਆਂ ਕਾ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਦੇਂਦੇ ਨੇ ਲੋਕੀ ਕਿਉਂ ਤੜਿਆ ਤੇਰੀ ਯਾਦ ਪਈ ਤੜਪਾਉਂਦੀਏ ਕਿੱਥੇ ਮੈਂ ਕਰ ਅਲੀ ਕਿੱਥੇ ਮੈਂ ਆਸੀ ਖਾਦਿਮ ਓ ਮਖਦੂਮ ਮੇਰੇ ਕਿੱਥੇ ਮੈਂ ਕਰ ਅਲੀ ਕਿੱਥੇ ਮੈਂ ਆਸੀ ਮੈਂ
او مخدوم میرے اے فیض ریاض علی دائے تیرے اتنے رنگ تا جو چڑیاں تیری یاد پئے تڑپاں دیئے لالیاں نینان جھڑیاں کدی اس رستے بھی لنگ مہی تیری دید دی حسرتا ہن بڑیاں تیری یاد پئی
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Viewers of my channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. And before the break, we were talking about the status of the Sahaba. And I asked you to do something during the break, to get a piece of paper and to write down the names of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at that list now and be honest with yourself. How many did you know? And did you confidently know them names, or you just guessed at them names and thought, well, this is probably one, this is probably one, or this is probably one? Or did you confidently know the names of the companions, or at least 10 companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And those of you that have, mashallah, marhaba, it's good. And that is something that we need to improve on. You know, there's a saying in English, don't rest on your laurels, don't rest on your success. If you know the names of 10, then find out about more. But those of us that have got a blank sheet of paper in front of us, or maybe one or two names on that list, think to yourself that as Muslims, our rich heritage that we should know something about, we know very little about. Alhamdulillah, as mashallah, every day Shabazz Madani has been giving us time, he's online today, and I'm hoping that he's going to elaborate on this topic and talk about some of the hadiths with regards to that, maybe some of the ayats of the Quran that mention the status of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Shabazz bhai, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah. How are you, Shabazz bhai?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal.
Back to the topic of the day, Shabazz bhai, the status of the Sahaba, the eminence of the Sahaba, and the fact that I feel and I hope and I really pray that I am wrong on this, that we know very little about it. I think that's the case. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that the people that are watching this program say, yeah, no problem, Khalid bhai, I can name 50 Sahaba, I can know about their lives, I've read the seerahs. Brilliant, I hope. But I think I'm right. Ji Shabazz bhai.
Well, just that point you mentioned about writing them down. I was also, mashallah, listening, and I was also thinking about this. I didn't get the chance to write it down.
Okay.
I was just preparing to join you. But really, I've made the intention, I'm going to try to write down names, because I want to see how many I know. And I think this is something that everybody should attempt. But the question is, if you do not know about them, will you go out and search about them? This is one question. Another, Khalid bhai, is also that, you know, alhamdulillah, I've been reading. I love reading the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's something which is like a daily, in a way, not every day, but most of the time. It's a daily task. So I'm always coming across companions. So it's not necessary that I'll remember all those companions' names I've read. But the ones who regularly come up, those sometimes you'll remember. Sometimes it'll be somebody you know so well, even then you'll forget. This task you mentioned, mashallah, it's brilliant. Nevertheless, let's come to our topic, the topic about the companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Even from amongst the companions, as you said, the greatest of all companions was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Then Hazrat Umar Farooq, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Usman ibn Affan, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Ali al-Murtada, karamallahu wajhahu al-kareem. I have Sahih al-Bukhari in front of me. So this is in Sahih Bukhari. Hazrat Imam Bukhari, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, has set out an entire chapter about the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allahu Akbar.
It's mentioned that Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, "Kunna nukhayyiru bayna al-nasi fi zaman al-Nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fa nukhayyiru Aba Bakr, thumma Umar ibn Khattab, thumma Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhum." he says that during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during that era, from amongst the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we would speak about who is the greatest of them. And they say that there was none matching Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu.
Subhanallah.
Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was the greatest. Then Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Then Hazrat Usman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So this has been explicitly mentioned. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says about Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, فَلَوْ كُنْتُ مُتَّخِذًا مِنْ أُمَّتِي خَلِيلًا لَتَّخَذْتُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ وَلَكِنْ أَخِي وَصَاحِبِي. He says that if I was to take a Khalil, a friend, then I would have taken Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu as a friend. You know, there's so much to mention about Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. I'm not going to mention too much. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, the greatest. Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, the greatest. Also the second Khalifa. Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was such an individual that the Bi'at al-Ridwan, he himself was not present. But yet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his own manner, beautiful manner, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Hada yadu Uthman. This is the hand pledging allegiance, the hand of Usman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Ali al-Murtada karamallahu wajhahu kareem. These are the four great companions, greatest of companions of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Khalid bhai, I have a book by the name of Fada'il al-Sahaba. You see, there are, to be honest, there are many things to mention. I would like to mention a few things about companions in general. The companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in general, and how we must be very, very careful. Very, very careful when we are speaking in regards to the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Now this book was written by Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, famous, the Imam. And in fact, because this is a book of Hadith Sharif, I'll mention a little about Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Hazrat Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal was the fourth Imam of the Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah. There's four Imams. Hazrat Nu'man bin Thabit Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi'i, Hazrat Imam Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Imam Malik bin Anas, and Hazrat Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now, this individual, this Imam, Khalid bhai, you must have seen the book, the Musnad of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal.
Allahumma.
And this is a Fada'il al-Sahaba. He has written an entire work on the Fada'il al-Sahaba, and he is narrating, he has compiled these Ahadith Sharif. From amongst these is a Hadith Sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he says, Allah, Allah, fi ashabi. This is the first hadith we've mentioned in the book, that fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in regards to my companions. La tattakhidhuhum gharadan ba'di. Do not make them a target. Do not make them a target of your criticism after me. فَمَنْ أَحَبَّهُمْ فَبِحُبِّي أَحَبَّهُمْ. He who loves the companions, this is the important part, he who loves the companions, it is by my love, his love for me, that he loves the companions. وَمَنْ أَبْغَضَهُمْ فَبِبُغْضِي أَبْغَضَهُمْ. And he who possesses enmity or hatred for the companions, it is his possession of hatred for me, due to this, that he hates the companions. وَمَنْ أَذَاهُمْ فَقَدْ أَذَانِي. That individual who harms them in any way, he has harmed me. وَمَنْ أَذَانِي فَقَدْ أَذَى اللَّهُ مَعَذَى اللَّهُ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ وَمَنْ أَذَى اللَّهُ يُشِكُ أَنْ يَأْخُذَهُ. And that person who harmed me has harmed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if he does so, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is soon to take hold of that person, meaning deal with such an individual. Another hadith we've mentioned in regards to the companions, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that لا تسبوا أصحابي. Do not criticize my companions. Do not say anything wrong to them. Do not vilify them. فَإِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ لَوْ أَنفَقَ مِثْلَ أُحُدٍ ذَهَبًا. For indeed, if any one of you, if any one of you was to spend the like of the Mount Uhud in gold, if you were to spend the amount of Uhud, this mountain of gold, then ma adraka mudda ahadihim. This would not equate to even one mud. This is a particular measurement. This would say a handful. This would not equate to a handful which any of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given. And then it continues, neither even a half of a handful in which the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also states that he who criticizes, speaks wrong about my companions, فَعَلَيْهِ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's curses upon him. وَالْمَلَائِكَ, the angels' curses upon him. وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ, and also all of the people's curse is upon that person. And really, my dear viewers, something we must understand is we are Muslims. We must love the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We must protect the honor of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says about such people who protect the honor of the companions. He says, "Man hafidhani fi ashabi kuntu lahu yawm al-qiyamati hafidhan." That individual who protects me and my companions, meaning that person who protects the honor of my companions, then I shall protect him on the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. It's mentioned in the Mu'jam, Mu'jam al-Kabir of Hazrat Tabrani radhiyallahu ta'ala. He states in there that these companions are not just ordinary people. Well, obviously they're not ordinary people, but he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had looked into the hearts of all the people.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had looked into the hearts of all the people, and he chose the best of the people to be blessed with the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. Honestly, when I read this, I myself was like, subhanAllah. It's mentioned in a similar narration in Hilyat al-Awliya also, that these people, they've been chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, who are we to say anything?
And Allah.
Yes, sometimes it was people think about the disputes about, you know, typical things, things which are not deserving to be mentioned. But because it's in our society, you know, sometimes you would think if your grandparents, if your parents were to be arguing between each other, if there was to be some sort of dispute between them, things like this happen, what has it got to do with you? Are you going to curse one of them, Azallah? No, it's not going to be like that. Our duty is to respect each and every single companion. One very, very important lesson, a very, very important lesson you must take from this. Teachers, lecturers, parents, when they are teaching their children about companions, about the stories of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was a transitional period. And even after, but the greater transition was during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So naturally, we were to find initially many enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What we must understand is, if we are mentioning a story to our children, to our students, whoever it may be, and we are mentioning that this is what happened, this is what this person did to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we must also tell them. We must also tell them it is our duty. Sometimes that same person who was the greatest enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sometimes he will later accept Islam.
Thank you.
So we must tell them that this person later accepted Islam. We must make them understand that once a person has accepted Islam, then Islam removes all the previous sins. It's like a newborn baby. This is something we must explain to them. It's very, very important we do. Who are we? What right do we have to criticize anybody? People like Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. First, yes, you know, he was a hurdle in the path of the deen initially, but later he gave his life for the struggle of the deen. So each and every single companion, this is something we must understand. When it comes to the companions, no matter who the companion is, no matter who the companion is, if that person is a companion, our tongue should stop. We should become quiet. And to be honest, there's not much more to say. When it comes to a companion, we know that's it. End of story. Whatever happened, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised in the Quran, radiallahu anhum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them. Who are we to say anything else?
The pleasure that they receive, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them, we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes pleased with us as well. Jazakallah Shabazz bhai, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
MashaAllah. Again, so many Madani pearls there from Shabazz Madani. I could have let him continue to the end of the program, but we had a little package that we want to show you now. And then inshallah, we'll kind of wrap up the topic a little bit because we've got a little bit of time. We'll just go to this small package here. I'm going to learn some sunnahs, hopefully, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about this topic. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Dear Islamic brothers, today inshallah I will explain few Madani pearls regarding drinking water. But remember, beside Sunan of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Madani pearls conveyed by our pious predecessors are also included when I mention them. So no deed can be declared to be Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam unless it is known for sure. So remember that when you are learning this. There are two blessed sayings of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam: do not drink water in one breath like a camel, but rather drink it in two or three breaths. Recite Bismillah before you drink it, and when you have drunk it, recite Alhamdulillah. The noble Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam forbade from taking breath or blowing into the pot. Recite Bismillah before drinking water. Drink in small sips by sucking the water. Big sips cause liver disease. Drink water in three breaths. Drink water with the right hand and in sitting position. So, dear respected viewers, I have explained to you a few Madani pearls. Let me show you the practical method of drinking water according to Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and it may also include few etiquette and manners. So, the bowl of water should be in your right hand. So do not drink with your left hand. So use your right hand, and you should be in a sitting position. Sit down before you drink water. And then you have to look into water, see if anything is there or not, if all is clean. Then you drink water in three sips. Before that, you recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So one sip, two, and in the third one you can drink as much as you want. And at the end you have to say Alhamdulillah when you have finished. So this is the way of drinking water. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. MashaAllah, there was Aris, one boy from London, who teaching us the sunnahs of drinking water there. And again, it's something that if we learn, because, you know, a lot of things we do in our lives, use on this channel, that we don't have to put a lot of extra effort in. But if we just change the way we do them slightly, or maybe even make the intention. Because what happens is maybe you are already acting according to the sunnah. Maybe you're already putting on your shoes according to the sunnah. Maybe you're already taking your shoes off according to the sunnah. Maybe you're already putting your clothes on according to the sunnah, etc. But if you become aware that this is a sunnah and you do it with the intention that I am performing, I'm fulfilling the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you'll get the reward for it. So a little bit of effort, just a little bit of effort, just maybe a change in your intention, and you gain so much reward. And in the instance that is on by mentioned there, just drinking water, how much effort, you know, and that short space of time we learn that sunnah, we act upon that sunnah, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla will get rewarded. And I'd like to invite all of our viewers now to travel in the way of Allah, Azza wa Jalla, travel in the Madani Kaflas, and learn these sunnahs, and learn about them, and not only learn about them, but also act upon them as well. Viewers of the Madani Channel, today we're talking about the status of the Sahaba, and they were those people, viewers of the Madani Channel, that if you think about it nowadays, I was born in a Muslim family. Within a couple of hours of us being born, the azan was read in our ears. We're brought up in this environment of Islam. We've not had to struggle and strive, and we've not had to really make any sacrifices. But these people, the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those were the people at the time where Islam was not the strength that it had now. They were weak at that time. It was the time in that early period of time where they had to struggle. But they went on that struggle, and it took so much. You know, so much cruelty happened to the companions. We hear about how Sayyidina Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, that he was laid down on the heat of the day, and rocks were put on his chest. He was punished. These people were persecuted. These people had all sorts of things after them. These people were killed. Why? Because they kept on staying in the fold of Islam. They did not say that we're going to leave Islam. And because of that, they were punished, persecuted. They were isolated. The companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were put into almost permanent isolation, where people were told, they were boycotted, that people not give them any food, not trade with them, not do anything with them. And they could have just come back and joined the community, but they didn't, for the sake of Islam. And these people, the sacrifices that they make, and when we learn about those lives and the sacrifices that they made, the journeys that they made, and the things that they did, it's just unbelievable. Something our minds cannot even comprehend. You know, he mentioned, Shabazz Madri mentioned Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. You just want, I've got 1 minute, I'm going to try and squeeze this incident in. The companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet of Allah, he made an announcement that we're going to go to a place called Tabuk. And we're going to go there to spread the deen of Islam, and we need to have some funds, basically we need provisions. And they made this intention to go there, and the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the announcement that bring forth what goods you have to spend in the way of Allah azza wa jal. And it stated on that day, Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, when he left his home with the intention that today I'm going to beat someone. Who am I going to beat? I'm going to beat Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. How am I going to beat him? I'm going to beat him by spending more in the way of Allah azza wa jal. And what did he do? Every single thing in his house, he divided in half. Half of the food, half of the wealth, half of the clothes, half of the provisions, everything. And the one half he left at home, and one half he placed at the feet of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when he informed him, obviously the companions, they were pleased. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was pleased. But Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he had not arrived yet. And when he arrived, it is stated that he arrived in clothes that were made out of sack material. You know when you get sacks of rice, that material that's made out of that jute, it was made out of that. There was no buttons. Thorns were there to hold the material together. Why? Because every single thing that he had in his house, down to the last button, he gave in the way of Allah azza wa jal. And when he was asked, that what have you brought and what have you left behind? He said, Allah. Every time I hear this, he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everything I have brought. And for my family, I've left Allah and His Rasul. And that is all that I need. These were the people that loved the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, viewers of my channel. True love is not 1 day in a year. True love is not 12 days in a year. True love is 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, for the rest of your life. And if you want to see true love, time does not permit me to talk about this topic, but if you want to see true love, then look at the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today just scratched the surface and generated a little bit of thirst inside ourselves so that we can go away and find out about who these great personalities are, who the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that they are the stars, follow them and you will never go astray. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
The special favor of Allah. Allah.